Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Today's big idea is church growth. Can we talk about this? I mean, in reality, many of us have been thinking, I don't know, we need to even talk about numerical growth now. Isn't it only spiritual growth? Today, we're bringing this conversation to the forefront, church growth. Hey, Drew, it's time to advertise.
This is my favorite part of each podcast.
Yeah, but we're not going to advertise the book any longer. Nobody cares.
I mean, I think you've sold a few copies at this point.
It's done. It's done. Put a fork in it, because right now we've got a new thing to push on you,
tell us, great listener. Please tell us.
No, I can't, because some of these people are fast-forwarding right now.
That's true.
No, stop fast-forwarding.
Stop the scroll.
Okay, now you're ready. Here's what we're going to advertise to you. That is the official membership of the Idea Network.
So originally it was called the Charter Membership.
Charter Membership was
limited to like 100 people, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And everybody, and only those who joined up in 2021. You say, man, I want to be a Charter Member. Well, too bad.
You can no longer be a Charter Member. However, you can be a part of the membership program.
That's right, an official member of the ID Network. You say, but I listen to the podcast. You're not a member. Yeah, but I'm in that Facebook group. Not a member. Yeah, but I come to Idea Day. Not a member.
I bought swag off the store.
Not a member.
Yeah.
But that swag, by the way, is awesome stuff.
Pretty great.
Yeah. Official members are those who are joining the 2021 Charter Members in our membership program. What does that look like? Well, it looks like a monthly fee that goes toward the functioning of the Idea Network and allows the Idea Network to do the things that it does. With that membership, this is what you're purchasing. You're purchasing a weekly virtual roundtable with myself and other ministry leaders for the purpose of creating an environment to share collaborative ideas between Idea Nights, Idea Days, and Idea Summits. These virtual roundtables have been a refreshing time for so many of us. But not only that, you receive a swag box with all of the greatest merchandise Idea Network has to offer and the ability to get involved in member-exclusive events. Look, we want you to be supportive of the network, and you want to be supportive of the network, but there's a lot that comes along with it, and we want you to be involved with the official membership of the Idea Network. All you have to do is go right to the website and look up membership and join us soon.
IdeaNetwork.church. Sign up there.
Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks. Thanks so much for spending your time with us today. On today's episode, we're talking about church growth.
Yeah, church growth.
Let's just talk about it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a taboo topic now. It wasn't, right? In the 80s and 90s, everything was all church growth movement. And the pendulum swings once you get to our age. You begin to realize what was cool a decade ago is not cool now. And what was really cool two decades ago is almost preached against now. And it's funny, we're in a place at this point.
You don't like burgundy carpets?
Burgundy carpet. I'm thinking about, you know, maybe it'll come back. Maybe it'll
crushed out. Velvet pews.
Crushed velvet. I love the fact that it's not just regular velvet.
Yeah, it's crushed.
You got to get premium crushed.
Yep.
It's church growth. And when it comes to church growth, there's almost been this this anti-movement of like, oh, don't talk about church growth at all. And the reality is I think we can talk about it. And I think there's some things that we need to discuss as it relates to church growth. So let's talk about it. Okay, church growth. Here's my proposition. People talk about, what is the big secret, right? What is the big secret to getting new people into the door? Okay, here's the big secret about getting new people into the door. There is no secret.
Folks. Josh Tice revealing the secret
you
playbook.
Set it back up?
It's fine. This is good.
This is good?
Yeah.
There's no secret.
What?
Here's the thing.
I thought you had this like secret hidden church planners Las Vegas guide only to church growth.
Okay, so there is no secret. There's no secret. There's no fresh idea. There's no codified formula. There's no new book. Everybody's waiting for the new book. The next book, right, is going to tell me exactly, dance like David, paint like Paul, get stoned like Stephen. Like, there's no new book that is suddenly going to give you this. You just
that
got that last one.
That last one was funny.
Yeah, thank you very much. Get stoned like... There's no like one singular idea that's going to suddenly... Here's the reality. Here's the sad truth. You cannot get your church to grow. However, as it has been said many, many times by many, many people, healthy things do grow. So here's my proposition for this podcast. there might not be anything you can do to get your church to grow, but there are 1,000 things that we do that keep our church from growing.
Mm.
So you're sitting there saying, well, what are you talking about? If your church is a biblical church that is healthy and you're working at its spiritual health, it should be growing numerically and spiritually every single month, every single 6 weeks, every single quarter, every single year. You should see growth. The question is, if you're not seeing growth, why? Could it be there's not another secret formula for you to enact or a new book that you need to rearrange a church around? Could it be that there are a few things that you are doing that are keeping your church from growing, inhibitors to growth? And so we wrote out a few that we could talk about in this episode.
There's a few of them here. Yeah. I like what you got here. Yeah. And we're just going to work our way through them. So the first one is a lack of goals.
Lack of goals.
There's a few of these.
Yeah.
So we need to pray our goals, write our goals, share them, and declare them.
Yes. So what we do here at Southern Hills is we say, okay, if we want our church to be able to move forward, one of the things that inhibit our church from moving forward is our lack of goals, our lack of work. It's the fact that we, in our own system, in our own deacons, in our own pastors, in our own staff, in our own hearts, are unwilling to make the sacrifice of putting in effort. Right? Doing hard things. So writing out goals, man, this is not easy. And so what we do, the process is, you first of all, pray them, write them, share them, declare them, pray them. Spend time with God asking God, where is it that you want us to go in this next coming year? Where do you want me to succeed in the next 12 months? What do you want me to accomplish in the next quarter? At Southern Hills, every single one of our team members have quarterly goals. And 6 weeks before the new quarter, they're being asked, what are your quarterly goals for the summer? So it's the middle of April, and we're asking them, okay, what do you want to see done between June, July, and August? What is God calling you to do? So the way they establish those goals is not by us dictating them to them. The way they establish those goals is by spending time in prayer. God, where are you leading? But if they're going to pray them, I think what happens a lot of times is that we do not accomplish our goals because we don't take the next step, and that is to sit down and write them out, put them on paper.
Yeah, you got to be able to see them and tangibly put your eyes on them, not just in your theory, have them in your head, right?
Exactly.
Put pen to paper.
Put pen to paper, and then take that pen and paper and bring it to people that you trust. You pray them, you write them, then you share them. Sharing them with your inner circle, with those that are closest to you. Talk with your spouse about them. Talk with your deacons about them.
It creates accountability, right? Because they'll ask you about, like, hey, how's your goal doing?
Yeah, and they can challenge you. You'd be like, are you sure? Like, you want to make that a goal? Like, let's say you're a children's pastor in Duluth, Minnesota, right? And you're like, man, I got this great idea for my goals for the summer. And you're like, so you pray about it and you write it down. And then you've got one of your best children's ministry workers. You share it. And he's like, man, I'm not sure, man. I don't even know. And then you share it with another children's ministry worker. Oh, man, I don't think so. And you're getting a collaborative understanding that what you're actually trying to accomplish is not necessarily the best goal. So you pray them, write them, share them. And then once you've gone through that, you declare them. That is, you stand up boldly and say, this is what we are going to do in the next 3 months, in the next 6 months, in the next 12 months. And that's the part that's scary. That's the part that takes guts.
Because at that point, you're putting yourself out there, and it's a lot harder to go back on your word.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Gives you even more built-in accountability from a social standing. So.
Yeah. I mean, you can remember when the old footage of Babe Ruth, right, with his baseball bat pointing out to center field. I mean, like, that's so epic. And the reason it's epic is because the next ball he hits goes exactly where he pointed. How screwed up would it have been if he pointed out there and the next one was strikeout, right? And we know that the chances of us striking out are really high, really high. So we don't want to declare our goals. The problem is, if you don't declare your goals, according to what you said a moment ago, accountability, it's so difficult to accomplish that which you did not pray through, write out, share, and then declare.
So I love this premise of the conversation talking about all healthy things grow. And we can't get our church to grow, but there's a lot of things we can do to stunt that growth. So the first thing is a lack of goals.
Yes.
The second one you say is a lack of focus. What do you mean by that?
Lack of focus. I can remember different points in 18, 19 years of history here at Southern Hills that we were clearly focused and we were not focused. Moments that are different. where just so many ministries and opportunities and 1,000 different things surrounded us, so that like a buffet, our plate is so filled with so many awesome things that it's all kind of a bit of a mess. And then I can remember moments where there's very strong clarity. I'll never forget one time, 2013, I'm at a staff retreat in Ironwood, California. And I'm sitting there with my team, at that point, very small team. It's myself and Heather, the Combs, the Murrays, and I believe Steve and Becky were there. And it was in a just a great moment, great little staff retreat. And I had a whiteboard, and I was utterly convinced of a few things. We were still in a storefront, and we were averaging probably about 450 people, and we had to break 500. And I remember getting a big whiteboard, and the entire staff retreat was focused on one specific thing. On the whiteboard, I wrote one number and I wrote one word. Mm. I wrote the number 600 and I wrote the word land. And I remember we had printed out books, and the printed out books that we brought in, the cover sheet had just a number and a word, 600 land. That's it. So what are we talking about? We got to get to 600 people every Sunday, and we have to buy a piece of land. That's all that matters in the 2013 calendar year. That's all that we need to do. And I got to tell you, man, that year was one of the most focused and growth emphasized years we've ever had, because there was a very clear focus. And a lot of times when we haven't seen that growth, well, that's because we've been tied up with a lot of other things other than a clear goal.
Yes, I'm assuming in meetings when things were brought up, everything was put through the filter as, does this help us get to 600 people? Does this help us get land? So when you have laser focus like that, everything kind of groups itself around that energy. Thus, the energy goes where the focus flows. Where has it? Focus goes where the energy flows. I think some of the, yeah. I'm probably saying it wrong, but.
Well, it sounds pretty good. And yeah. But it makes the same, it makes the point. And the point is, we know these principles. Every single person listening to this is like, oh, I know that principle. The question is, are you accomplishing the goals that you want to accomplish? Could mm-hmm. it be because there's so many things on your plate that you need to let some of them go? Now, that reminds me of like what I call the 90-10 rule when it comes to ministry focus. Some people think, well, does that mean I should just eradicate everything from my plate that is not this one particular goal? Okay, so I talk with pastors a lot about the Idea Network, for example, some people that are involved with missionary agencies, other ministries or other opportunities. For example, I am involved at ABWE. I love ABWE. It's a wonderful mission board. I'm on the board there. It's a wonderful mission organization. I have Idea Network on the side. I love Idea Network, and this is what I'm doing even this moment. But my focus has to be Southern Hills. So is it possible to focus on one while also having something on the side? And the answer, I believe, is yes. This doesn't mean that you can't have regional, national, or international reach. You just need to clearly delineate the percentage. What I mean by that is this. For me, at Southern Hills, in my life, I know that 75% of my focus is right here, Southern Hills. 20% of my focus is going to be Idea Network, and 5% of my focus is going to be ABWE. Knowing that in my mind helps me say, oh yeah, I know that I'm balanced because I know what I've given over. Mm-hmm. I think the problem when it comes to a lack of focus is whenever you aren't sure in your own mind and you have not made it clear to the team around you where your emphasis and focus lie. So having a clear focus, let's say as a youth pastor right now, you're like, okay, my goal is I need to see 100 people showing up to youth group every single week. But that means that's the only thing I focus on. No, I think you can delineate that 10% of your focus is going to be, making sure you're personally discipling 10 others, right? Now, again, I'm not telling you your number has to be that giant number. It could be that your number one clear focus goal is to personally disciple 10 teenagers. That's not the point. The point is that you in your own mind have allowed yourself to have some delineation of percentages to help you focus on what you really want to accomplish in that year.
You mean I can't give 100% to everything?
You can't give 100% to everything. And if you try to, you're going to give every single part is going to be disappointed in what you're presenting.
Or you'll lead to burnout, which is even worse.
So you might say, okay, I'm not sure if I'm lacking focus. Mm-hmm. Then I would encourage you to ask the question. You say, what do you mean the question? The question is, what am I truly aiming at? That's what you need to ask. Where are you aiming this arrow? Do you know? Does your team know? Does your spouse know? Does the church people know? if you don't know what you're aiming at, nobody else does either. What is the big goal? What is the big focus? Where exactly do you want this arrow to land?
Yeah, I think you can look forward and see the trajectory of where those goals are going to take you if you do a lot of visualization, right? So you look 5 or 10 years down the road. If I hit that goal, what happens, right? What can happen next? Or you potentially look at where you've been and say, hey, like, I've had goals like this in the past, but with the trajectory, I'm not where I want to be, right? Yeah. So the trajectory I'm headed is actually wrong and I need to shift.
Precisely. And so you're looking to the future. And the other thing that you're looking to is you're looking above. The reason I bring up this concept is one of the things that has caused me to have a lack of focus is that not only am I not looking to the future, it's that I'm not looking above, meaning I'm not focused on the reality that I live for an audience of one. And so everybody else's goals for me become my goals for me. When we live for an audience of one, we become more clear and focused on what we are supposed to do next. It goes really to that first point of praying about your goals. So I think as a ministry leader, if you're like me, we weigh too heavily the opinions and the blessings of fellow field workers. So if an opinion of a fellow field worker looks at me and like, I don't think what you're doing is good, I'm like, oh man, that other guy doesn't like how I'm cutting down all of this wheat. Maybe I should sharpen my sickle in a way that is approved by him. Who cares what this guy thinks? He's just another field worker. Or we overemphasize the blessing of another field worker. Another field worker looks at you and is like, wow, you're really, really good. But you're so focused now on the fact that you're focused on these other field workers, you're neglecting to remember the master has actual expectations of you. It doesn't matter what the other field workers think. If the master has given you clear assignment and we're not accomplishing these assignments. So when we are not living for an audience of one, we're constantly asking questions like, what would that deacon say? What would that mentor say? What would that friend say? What will it cost me if I do these things? And all of those things distract from the focus of accomplishing the thing that actually matters. And how in the world can they feel an approval about something to which you specifically are called? So really, I think it begins with, okay, what is it that's keeping our church from that next level of spiritual growth or numeric growth? Could it be possible that a lack of clear goals is keeping us from growth? Could it be that a lack of focus is keeping us from growth?
All right, so first we have lack of goals as a way you can prevent your church from growing, then lack of focus. Next up, lack of awareness. What do you mean by that?
Okay, so as Christians, we have to get to the point where we understand this again. At church, behind the pulpit, even in the foyer, we say the oddest things, and then we wonder why people don't come back to our churches. Right? I mean, have you ever been in one of those situations where somebody walked into the middle of a conversation that you're having with somebody else and they just happen to walk in at exactly the right time and you're saying something that makes sense within the conversation, but they walk in and they're like, I'm not sure what you mean by that. It can get weird. Well, see, that's exactly what's going on. Your guests are showing up. And this is what we as pastors need to remember. When you have a guest come into the church, they're showing up in the middle of a conversation. You're making disciples. If you're going to be having a preaching through the books of the Bible like I do, you're focused on a specific doctrine like we focus on, here's the reality. You're going to have to, if you're going to say something culturally unacceptable in the midst of your conversation, it's going to take time to set it up. If you're going to say something that might be a little bit culturally odd, a little out of place, then maybe it's going to take a moment to stop and say, okay, let me walk you through why we have this perspective, which means you're going to have to share Bible verse, which means you're going to have to share a logical argument, a rational argument. But sometimes we as pastors forget that we're preaching to a broader congregation rather than just preaching to the choir, unless you are just preaching to the choir. Here's my point. We talk about, okay, there's nothing you can do to make the church grow, but there are a lot of things we're doing that are keeping the church from growing. You've got a rando showing up in your church that has no concept of who Jesus is, and you're up there shouting about something that culturally is a little out from left field. No wonder they're not coming back. I'm not saying don't preach. I'm saying if you're going to touch on that topic, make sure you fully flesh it out so that the modern rando who doesn't know Jesus understands at least where you're coming from.
Yeah, even stuff like the sacraments, right? Like a truly unchurched person, right? Doesn't know the gospel, doesn't know much about the Bible. And you're passing around a half-sized shot glass of grape juice or wine, depending on the church you're in. And like the tiniest wafer of cracker that you've ever seen. You're like, what? Why? And it's somebody's, and wait, now you're saying it's somebody's body I'm eating? Like what? I don't get it. Like you'd have to set that up a lot.
Precisely. Now you might have the perspective, and again, this can be a theological position that leads to a philosophical choice that church is only for the saved. Well, if that's your position, I totally understand. I get it. But if what you're trying to do is grow the local congregation by allowing visitors to come in and see whether or not they sit or fit, then you have to honestly ask yourself this question. Are you only trying to get other Christians? If you're trying to get non-Christians, then maybe what we need to do is realize that our lack of awareness about things we say might be keeping our church from growing spiritually or numerically. I would say the other area of lack of awareness is not only do we say some of the oddest things, we also create some of the oddest environments that are only comfortable for the initiated, right? So we create these environments that feel extremely comfortable, like an old glove I can put my hand into. The reason that old glove feels good to you is because you've put your hand in that glove 100,000 times. It may not be so comfortable for somebody else. The reason why the local church might feel extremely comfortable to you and your grandchildren and your children and your friend and people that have been is because they've been there 1,000 times. So coming into your church, grasping the fact that this place might be a little odd for the uninitiated is important. We create environments that are out of date. 1970s museum with wood paneling on the wall and shag carpet in the foyer. And it feels very comfortable to us because that's where grandma used to take us when we were 7 and now we're 40, 49. We might need to deal with this odd environment. Some churches are out of date. Some churches are out of the mainstream. Like, okay, think about it. So some churches, they're a museum of the 1960s. Other churches have become places like We Are the Piercing Church, right? There's a free piercing with every cup of communion. You know, it's like, okay, that's only gonna, it's so out of the mainstream. It's so odd. And the pendulum is swinging. And so you're reacting against other type of religious expressions that you've seen. The problem is for the average suburbanite, it's too weird for them to feel comfortable. And so you're only hitting a niche. We're out of the mainstream, we're out of date, or sometimes we're just out of compassion, right? New people come in and we just ignore that they're there and we only talk to our own people. I've noticed this even with our own guest services sometimes. The guest services people are so friendly to each other as they turn their back on the new people coming in and they're so excited to talk to each other. And the question is, hey, have we lost our compassion? It's a lack of awareness. And so it's not something, do this and you'll have more people. The answer is you already have people coming in, but you might be keeping yourself from growing because of a lack of awareness.
All right. And lastly, a lack of prayer that might be keeping your church from growing.
Too many times we've seen this take place. The churches, they're firing on all cylinders, right? They've got goals. They pray them, write them, share them, declare them. They have focus. They know what they're going for, and they're addressing the issues that need to be addressed. They're completely aware of their culture. They're completely aware of their wording. Their theology is right. They're doing all the right things, but they forget the most essential element, and that is that they actually are men of prayer. I've heard my dad say it over and over. He's convinced men don't pray. We don't pray. Christ called us to pray. So you say, what do you mean pray? Like, I just need to spend time. Yes, spend time with Jesus. But like, prayer means to ask. So the question is, are you asking Jesus for the things that are needed? Could it be the thing that is keeping us from growing is the fact that we're not praying for the Lord of the harvest? We're not going to him and praying. How many guests are you praying for? Like in your prayer list, number one, is there an item that says, Lord, what we want to see this Sunday are these many guests in church? Are you praying for that? Do you have it on your list? If you don't have it on your list, how are you going to pray for it? If it is on your list, you're not taking time to pray. Like I can tell you every day this week, I pray specifically how many guests I want to see on Sunday. Do we hit it sometimes? Yeah, a lot of times. Do we hit it every time? Not every time, but I got to tell you, I believe it's an answer to prayer when those guests come. Questions like, how many salvations are you praying for? How many baptisms are you praying that God will allow you to perform this month? How many members do you want to join into the church? What is your desired assimilation rate? What about your worship team number, your youth group number? Are you praying daily for the Holy Spirit to bring an unsaved person across your path so you can lead them to Christ? Okay, so we know we want these things, but we fill up our prayer list with, you know, Joe's toe and Jack's back and Jane's pain. And the reality is we're not praying that the Lord of the harvest will allow us to accomplish the things that are most essential to our calling. And so I would say a lack of prayer, at least in my life in the past, has been moments where we see, why aren't we seeing growth? Could it be that we're not praying for it the way we're supposed to be praying? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we just need to spend time with God, asking him for the things, like you said, that are most beneficial for the spiritual health of our church, as well as our ministry and yourself.
Yeah.
Sometimes we, you know, it's as simple as the Bible says, you have not because you ask not.
Exactly. If your church is healthy, it will grow. Yet there may be a few things that you're doing that are keeping your church from growing numerically. Here's some questions I want you to kind of wrestle with as we close out. Some questions I want you to go back to and really say, okay, this is an ideas talk, and I want to understand this big idea of, is there some things that are keeping my church from growing? Here's the questions. What are your goals for this year? And have you declared them? Can you share one idea that you've implemented that brought true numeric growth? What is that idea that you're working on right now? What can you eliminate to restore focus to you and your church? Are there certain things that you just need to get out of the way? On a scale of 1 to 10, how unaware is your church of the perspective of the unsaved guest? Like, be honest with yourself and about your church. How unaware is your congregation that there are unsaved among us? And then lastly, what can we do to return to the business of prayer? What is it that we can get out of our lives so that we can make sure we're doing these things? Again, I don't know that there's a secret formula, a brand new idea, this will guarantee your church to grow. I don't think it's about what we do. I think it's about the things that we're doing that are keeping our church from growing. And so if we can eliminate some of these things, like lack of prayer, lack of awareness, lack of focus, lack of goals, I think we're going to begin to see the church grow the way it ought to.
Yeah, thanks for sharing with us those parting questions for us to kind of wrestle with. And I love the thought, the most healthy thing will naturally grow. So hopefully we can take that away and apply it. That was church growth.
Yeah, I guess we talked about it.
We did.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.